Broadcasting 2.0 for November 17th, 2023, episode 155, Landing Zone. Hey, hello everybody, welcome to Podcasting 2.0. This is the only boardroom that wants to vaporize its corporate mothership. That's right, we're here to remove ourselves. Everything going on with the current state of podcasting, the future of podcasting, value for value. Yes, we've got all that's going on with the namespace, podcastindex.org, podcastindex.social, and I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country in Alabama, the man who digs for nuggets in cryptographic libraries wrapped in C. Say hello to my friend on the other end, ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Mr. Dave Jones.
That's nugget with a C. Yeah.
No, nuggets in cryptographic libraries wrapped in C.
Oh, okay.
You see,
okay.
I read your posts. I know what you're doing.
It's like, yeah, we will be lucky if we make it through the show. Because
why is that? Oh, power?
My house is freaking out.
Is it your house or is it just Alabama? What's going on? Birmingham.
I wish I could tell you. So we had this issue a few months ago, about 2-3 months ago. Mm-hmm. We had this problem where, the lights would flicker just, you know, they'd be like, brr, 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 brr.
And that was your
house.
And
then it would stop. Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, actually it was not.
Okay. So it's the state of Alabama. I didn't realize. The state of Alabama.
I thought it was the house. So I go, you know, my first thinking is we live in a really old house, and I've replaced a lot of the wiring. Our house was built in 1892.
So oh, do you have the wires with the cloth covering around it?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
that starts to rot away slowly over time.
Mm-hmm. We had knob and tube, if you know what that is.
I think I had that when wiring. I was in college. I'm not sure if.
That's also an OnlyFans channel. But,
that's the line. That's the line I was looking for.
I'm helping you out. Alley-oop. All right. So we have knob and tube, which is like these porcelain standoffs.
Oh, yeah. Of course I know it. Yes, I've seen that. Sure. Yeah.
And then porcelain tubes that go through the joists. And so I've gone through there, and over the last almost 10 years we've lived here, I've ended up ripping most of that out. I mean, we've only got about only about 15% of the house left is still knob and tube. Everything else is up to code with Romex and everything. But so I'm immediately thinking, when this happened a few months ago, these little, you know, lights flickers. I'm like, well, there must be a bad circuit somewhere. And then one LED on the circuit goes crazy and makes all the rest of them freak out, you know, cause who knows? I mean, these LEDs have little computers.
Oh, they're their own entity of goodness. Those things are.
And they're all crap, you know? So it ended up not being the case. It was actually the transformer on the pole outside was bad, going bad.
Yeah.
Because our neighbor said the things, he's like, are y'all's lights flickering? Oh yeah. Our lights are flickering. So yeah. It was the whole neighborhood, you know, essentially.
Oh man.
So then, the power company replaced the transformer. That was like 3 months ago. Everything's been great. And then 2 days ago, this thing started again. And now it's doing the same thing. But what's weird about it, what makes me think is not, I don't understand the nature of this problem, because when this happens, like nothing goes off. It's no computers are affected, no TVs, no Wi-Fi seems to be affected by this. It's only the lights. And then sometimes you can hear it. If you have like a fan running, you'll hear it slow down a little bit.
Yeah. That, you know what that is? That's a frequency issue. So
frequency.
Yeah. So the guy that talked about this is Stephen B. He knows about this stuff, but, the grid by itself has to stay in a pretty tight frequency range. And this is why, you know, wind power is not that great, because, or even solar power, because, you know, once everything's on and the sun is shining or the wind is blowing, then there's too much power. You can't put too much power into the grid. It has to be regulated, which is coincidentally why a lot of Bitcoin miners are doing well with the grid operators, because like, hey, I got all this power. What am I going to do with it? Why don't I give it on the cheap instead of shutting it down, give it on the cheap to these Bitcoin miner guys. So it has to be within this certain frequency range, and if it dips a little too low, it's bad all around, but that's what you're seeing. And so an electric motor, you'll notice that immediately because based on cycles.
Cycle. Okay, yeah, so you're saying that the AC cycle is the 60 yeah, cycles 60 is maybe cycles. Dropping to yeah. like
59.9 or something. It's a real tight range.
Okay, so that, all right, okay, so I think I understand what you're saying. It's not a voltage problem or amperage problem or anything like that. It's the frequency with which the current alternates from positive to negative.
That's my understanding. I'm not the guy to give the real answer, but you know, yes, that's what, and all the grid stuff is measured in the frequencies, not the amount of power. Yeah, okay. I know. Huh? Well, you know, there's another guy, Sir Ben, the protector of megawatts. He's the guy that can tell you exactly how that works.
Well, that sounds like a power company issue again.
Totally.
Not a me issue.
But not necessarily your transformer. That could be, that can be at the plant or they're switching stuff over or don't have enough. I mean, we have that happen here in Texas, not because our grid sucks, which we've been psyoped into believing.
Yeah. Well, everything sucks in Texas.
Yeah. Well, it's because, obviously they want to nationalize our grid and we're quite happy with our grid. But ERCOT, which is, it's basically an exchange. And every 5 minutes they update the prices and people are, some of that stuff has been futured out 5 years in advance. And that's really what happened with the snowpocalypse is no one was making any money. It's like, I'm not going to turn on this coal plant or anything because, it takes 3 days to warm up and I don't know if I'm going to need it. And then the snow hits like, oops. And we couldn't flip on gas because the law says it has to go to the consumers first. So it's really basically the Enron guys. They're running the exchange, not the grid, but the exchange where the electricity is all commercialized. So
they all left Enron,
and they went to ERCOT, did not go to prison,
and went to ERCOT.
No, one or two guys died in prison. Epstein in prison, whatever. And then the other guys, they all went to ERCOT. No, it's horrible. It's horrible.
It's a great gig if you can get it, I guess.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding.
But anyway, I was looking for squirrels laying across the power line outside or something, popping and juicing up
dripping,
and everything.
Dripping squirrel juice down on another line.
Squirrel juice.
Squirrel sap. That's what we call it. Yes. In the business. Oh, man. Yeah. I wanted to mention something. So something really powerful happened in my life. Something powerful has been happening for a while. And, I've kind of turned, I got a lot of, not a lot, but I get a significant amount of really ugly emails from time to time, depending on the topic No Agenda discusses. And depending, because we never take sides or anything like that. We're just trying to deconstruct media. People get outraged and spun up. And being a new Christian, yes, Jesus freak alert. I've resorted to, instead of replying like, well, what do you think? Who do you are? I'm blocking you. So anything like that. Yes. I just say, hey man, I'm sorry. You seem angry about this. I don't think I can help anything, but, I pray for you. So it's either, I'll either say that or, I forgive you for saying this to me.
I forgive. This is not that much different. The old Adam, I've been CC'd on angry emails.
You remember the old yes. Adam. Yes.
and your reply all would just be like, why are you so angry, bro?
well, but I've replied differently to depending on the level. But I've really been very consistent and I mean it. If I write that email before I hit send, I pray for that person real quick. Believe me, it's not a long drawn out thing. But it's well meant. And what's been happening is I've been getting emails that are like, screw you, you blah, 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 blah. And I'll reply like that. And within an hour, oh man, I'm sorry. person will be completely transformed. So when Bitcoin Magazine didn't publish my piece and instead came out with this whole Noster is going to save the music business article and they were talking about the printed magazine. They'd never reached out to me. They were, where's the article? Where's the article? Where's it? And I sent the article. And then, after all this badgering and I wrote it and I got Tina involved and they didn't publish it. And I was disappointed, but I wound up sending the guy an email, which he never responded to. But I said, I forgive you for this and not getting back to me and not publishing it. It's okay. I mean, that was that was literally what I said in Stephen B's Emporium of Apps Telegram group extravaganza, which has multiple channels. You know, people were mad about this. There were a couple of our 2.0 people who were like, screw these guys. And I said, you know, no. Just, I forgive
them.
Is
one of them named Spencer?
Possibly. Or Libra.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, it, you know, just, I forgive them. It's okay. It's all going to be all right. And we moved on. And lo and behold, now it's on page 80. So yeah, it wasn't top of mind, but in the new Bitcoin magazine, the printed edition, I haven't seen it yet. It appears they've printed my article. And I just wanted to say, amen, hallelujah, because it worked. It worked.
Witness.
Witness. Preach. I had not expected that. And I'm really happy because I think it comes at a great time where.
Now, tell me, is there a digital version or is it print only right now?
I think it's print only. And then once it's out and, you know, I think it takes several weeks, which is kind of good. It'll be a couple of weeks until this pops up. And this was mainly about a short history of, I published it on podcastindex.social. You can find it probably somewhere. It's a brief history of 2.0, of what happened and then value for value as it pertains to the Lightning Network. Of course, I had a heavy Bitcoin slant on it because that's what Bitcoin Magazine is about. Mm-hmm. And then I spoke specifically about music and about the wallet switching technology. So it's perfect for kind of the ramp up that it actually would have been a little too early, I think, in hindsight. Now we have, you know, a lot of tracks that are available. People have their apps that are doing value time splits. And with a little luck, this Ainsley Costello Just Loud concert will stream live in a lit stream on 2.0. And I say a little luck because people aren't doing it yet. It's all Noster stuff right now. But I know that Dovidas and I think Alberto are trying to work with those guys and get it on a lit stream.
Okay. I'm going to be honest and say that I do not. I've seen the talk of that going on, but I'm not up to speed on what's happening there.
Oh, okay. So this is First Avenue in Minneapolis, but this is all Noster people. So if it's going to work, is because we make it work, not because they care about us. I'm going to be truthful about it.
Yeah, no, I think you're being honest. You're not being mean.
No, I'm not being mean. That's fine. I mean, they have their mission.
I don't care about them either. So we're fair.
You know, so we're all pretty excited about the most recent, PodCon Mexico that RSS.com put together. And did it lit live in video, which fantastic. So everybody could stream sats. You could boost in real time. And
did you see Alberto's article?
Yeah, in fact, I've linked to it in our show notes.
Okay,
and it
great.
Says sure. Here, how to stream a live event in a podcast, interact with the audience in real time and exchange value.
Yes. Excellent article.
So that's a great article that these guys are not following. And but there's confusion, you know, it's like there's a lot of excitement around Lightning and value for value. Now, they are calling this a value for value event, which is valid because you can zap while you're watching, but there's no streaming. It's not going to work in the apps. And hopefully, I think Dovidas, who has just been driving a lot of this, I think he's trying to work it out with them to get a stream that we can put lit into the apps. I hope
you can zap. You can zap as long as you're not zapping from Mutiny Wallet to the Zeus Wallet. Then you're out of luck because those guys, because the Mutiny Wallet people blocked anybody from using their wallet to zap anybody who's using Zeus. So now we're seeing.
Oh, really? I didn't even know that.
We're seeing zap censorship emerge.
Oh, really? You're kidding me.
I'm not kidding.
So it's not that it's incompatible. It's been blocked.
Mutiny. My understanding is that Mutiny Wallet claimed that they were getting payment failures or HTLC
timeouts
or timeouts, and so they just blocked Zeus.
So there's a bigger thing here. There's a bigger thing going on here. I don't think it's malicious, but I think it's ignorance. And I would hate to see, you know, two artists that that the Podcasting 2.0 music podcast have supported, Ainsley and Just Loud, not, you know, be exposed to the full audience, which I believe is really providing the most love and the most value, which is through our apps. So I'm just hoping that we get this set up. But I mean, I can tell because I've been in some conversations and I said, look, I'm just going to answer questions and point you to the right people. I'm too old and too tired to jump in and go nuts about this stuff because I've been around this thing. I mean, I did the first cybercast from the Grammys in 1996. You know, I brought a T1 line into the Shrine Auditorium. I'm not doing this anymore. But and so
you're not being an infrastructure guy.
No, I'm not doing that anymore. But, you know, here's all the people who are enthusiastic and they know how to do it and they can get it set up. So I really hope that that works out because it'd be a shame if it didn't happen. And it's really, it's because there's confusion when people hear value for value. Oh, yeah, that's value for value. And, you know, right. And Lightning. Yes, but it's really two different things. So again, I think that, you know, the guide from Alberto was fantastic. And Dovidas, you know, he's been the first one out of the gate to turn RSSBlue.com into a full service, you know, integrate the music. He understands all the moving parts. I hope that he can pull it off. And he should take a split for that.
For
but,
sure.
Yeah, but absolutely. Overall, there's a, we just want to acknowledge that there's really a lot of distance between what Noster is doing and what we're doing. But from the outside, it all kind of looks the same. And go ahead.
Now I was going to ask so if they're going to live stream this, I mean, Noster doesn't have a mechanism for that, does it? I mean,
No. If you go, it's called zap.stream. It's basically a streaming service, not unlike PeerTube. I don't know if it uses PeerTube under the hood. And they just pop up a button on the screen and you click an amount and then it opens your wallet. I mean, it's just a stream. You could do this on YouTube and put a thing in there. So there's no per minute streaming. There's no boostograms. It's just a zap with a name.
We know that based on what the Domus developer said, that 99% of people who use the app then stop using it. So the audience is limited. I mean, you're just going to be limited if you're restricting your audience to Noster to just a bunch of, you know.
Well, go look at Zap.stream and tell me what the max amounts are that you see on these live streams. You know, 1,200 sats. You know, just not receiving a lot. It's, you know, it's not the culture yet, and certainly not of live stream. So anyway, it does bring, since you mentioned the J65, the developer of Noster. So when he, interestingly enough, on Twitter posts, idea, use Noster for recording track contract splits. A Lightning Spotify client pulls these splits, which are cryptographically signed by the track's artist. The client streams sats in real time to them. Basically, podcasting 2.0, but for music and over Noster. It's so much better.
But it's not, because there's no audience.
And that's just a, it's just ignorance. He doesn't know. He's working on his thing. He doesn't know what we're doing over here. You know,
I agree.
People
I agree.
Jumped in and went, and I don't, and it's fine. I wish there was a way that we could integrate Noster. I haven't seen it yet. But right now, when I read this from the main developer of the main app, I got to declare Noster is a solution looking for a problem. You know, it's like if the main developer is already trying to think of other ways to make it interesting that are already kind of solved and working fine, then you got to start asking yourself questions. And it hurts the overall system because, you know, people were shocked, I tell you, to learn that not only has Mike Newman been the guy adding Wavelake feeds to the index, but
nobody knew that.
No. And worse, Michael from Wavelake, he said, well, it looks like the artists are adding it themselves, so we're not going to do that automatically. It's low priority for us. So he doesn't realize it either. I know, but he doesn't know it either. So they've deprecated the priority of basically hitting the pod ping.
It was Mike Newman who we lovingly refer to as the shell script that was doing this one by one.
Yeah. So what's going to happen is eventually Mike is going to get tired of it, or whatever, and then and artists are going to be disappointed.
I'm already tired of it on Mike's behalf.
Yeah, me too. My finger hurts. Like no.
There's
no way really we can integrate, but when it comes to certain things, everybody wins if we're a little more open and include everything. Does that make sense?
Yeah, this kind of fits into to some things that I kind of noted, which Todd, after the last show, Todd Cochran popped into the Mastodon and said, hey, I don't understand why in the world Activity Pub would be even a priority or a big deal. And I've been working on it, off and on all week. I've made progress. A lot of it is not visible, but this is one of those things where progress on this is going to be like
molasses,
not
watching paint dry.
Maybe not that. It's like nothing changes and then lots of things change. And it's because you have to have lots of things in place before any of the things work. Like you have to spend a lot of time writing code in order to get one thing to work.
Can I interrupt you for one moment just to read something I thought was very, very telling, because there are people listening who really don't even know what Mastodon is, and the reason, really? Yes, or how it really works. And it's, I think it's worth just, let me see if I could find this real quick. I got a note and the question was Mastodon. Here it is. Sorry for the dummy question. I'm super confused by Mastodon. I have the app on my phone, perhaps at your suggestion. Yes, with an account, which is always how I start, meaning by creating a presence and something new. I can't tell what or where this app lives. Is it a Noster thing? Is podcastindex.social just your community, not a broader Mastodon community? Can one boost here? As it relates to private postings, does that mean just one person tagged and it's private? So the concept of the Fediverse is not even known to a lot of people. The basic federated, distributed nature of Mastodon.
That's interesting.
Well, we're so natural for us to know this stuff. But here's someone who's on podcastindex.social and is trying to understand, so how does this thing work? What is it? Is it just you guys? And I think the app actually hurts, to be honest. I don't think apps make it very apparent to see the full spectrum on a website. So just bear that in mind, that people don't really understand that it is in effect a bit like Noster, except you have an account on a relay and your relay talks to other relays. Maybe that's a simple way of explaining it. But I'm sorry to interrupt again.
No, please do.
Even the Noster main guy from Damus, he said, I should look this up. He said about podcasting 2.0, and I actually responded to him like, what? How can you say this? He says, for podcasting, Noster has the benefit that it's easier to query than RSS and doesn't require you to run a server. I'm like, someone has to run a server somewhere. What is a relay?
RSS doesn't require you to run a server either. I mean, like,
if you want to simplify it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you want to everything has to be served.
Yeah, it has to come from, so it's not like magic. Does he know that relays are servers and that they're not just magic things that make the Noster stuff shoot around poorly?
I don't know. You don't write your RSS feed. You don't write your in-pub on your front door and everybody sees it. It has to be served by a computer.
Well, to be fair, he's built something called Noster DB, and his app is now, you have your app and it takes up 10 gigabytes of space because you're basically your own relay. I mean, this is what he's doing.
Well, this, so why is Activity Pub important?
Scale.
I see Activity Pub as, and this is going to be one of the, I have found out this week that I can, I'm trying to figure out how to frame this. It is difficult to convince people of your vision. Like that is, you have specifications and you have protocols. Those are easy to talk about and like those are easy to discuss and you can hash them about. And that's why people do, because you can, it's easy to talk in those terms. When you broaden that out a bit and talk about vision of a thing, like I'm not talking now about a specific protocol anymore.
You're talking to a guy who had to convince the world that an iPod was for radio shows.
Thank you. Thank you. You know this fight because you had to fight to convince Dave Weiner.
Yes.
What you were fighting to convince him, yes, of. I want to reframe that whole beginning of RSS and podcasting, the beginning of podcasting in RSS. What if you go back and you think about it, what you were trying to convince him of was not really a change to the protocol. You were trying to convince him of a vision you had that this change would enable.
Yes.
And you, because you saw a future in which this thing that you had thought of produced a particular outcome or a particular result, and you could see it and you can say, and you essentially had a syllogism where you're like, if A is true and B is true, then C will be true. And you saw the C, but there's a lot, but it's very difficult sometimes to convince people that A is true and or B is true, or A plus B will equal C. It gets lost along the way. And it's not because people are stupid.
No, like, no, not at all.
I eventually just bailed out of this thread on the Mastodon server, about the music, about the medium tag equals video. And it was a long thread where, you know, James and some other people were saying, I just don't understand why this is necessary. And I'm very, you know, I'm understanding of that because it's difficult to try to explain to somebody. And see, I'm even falling victim to this.
Well, first of all, I had to look up the word syllogism, which I thought might be venereal disease or something, but it's...
It will make you go crazy. Yes.
A deductive scheme of a formal argument consisting of a major and a minor premise and a conclusion.
Yeah, so the idea... Like, yeah. The basic is, if statement one is true and statement two is true, then statement three.
There you go.
But the particular words involved are important though, because typically the way that syllogism is talked about is if statement one is sound, that's the word that's used. If it's sound, mm-hmm, and statement two is sound, then statement three will be a logical conclusion from those two. So the sound has to do with your reasoning, you know, and I fall victim to this, and we all do. It's a natural way of thinking to think, okay, if I explain and say statement and I say this, and that is a sound thing, that's a sound statement to me, and I also say this, and then I show a conclusion, that everybody else will see what I mean and agree to it. That's not the way that
no,
it works.
No, it's not the way the world goes. No.
And the reason is simple. It's because we don't see, people don't see in the same frame of reference. Like if I have a vision of something, what I'm trying to show is not real. What I'm trying to show is the thing that I see in my head. And that's not the same as a logical conclusion. It's a vision. It's not an argument. And so you can argue all day long and you're just talking past each other. What you have to do, and this is, I think we've talked about this before, at some point what you have to do, this is why I appreciated Alberto's and RSS, Ben and Alberto over there, just diving
doing
in
it, and doing it
and doing it. Mm-hmm. Yes. You know, I think I've said before, when you can't come to an agreement after talking things out for a while in an open source project, it's time to stop talking and go build some stuff.
Yes. Because
that's the way that you express the vision in concrete terms. You build a thing, then people can see it. Mm-hmm. And you no longer have to try to explain it because it's right there in front of them.
I'd say this whole project is, its roots are based on that. And props to Stephen B for building Sovereign Feeds, because every vision that was discussed, whether it was ours or someone else's, came to fruition because we could put it into the feed.
Yes. Yeah. That's exactly right. So, like, in the context of the Medium discussion, we're kind of all over the place, but I don't care. In the context of the Medium discussion, this is perfectly exemplified.
Oh, this is, you know, notice that Adam stayed away from this one. I'm like, oh man.
Yeah, okay. I appreciated that about this, by the way.
Yeah.
The tags themselves must be definite. And I'm trying to use terms here very specifically. The tags that we use have to be definitive so that apps know what to do with the content that the tag is referencing. Like, so just, I'm not going to make a big thing about Medium and video here, but I'm just trying to exemplify something. MIME types don't do that. MIME types express a format.
A player, really. A format. I always thought that MIME type defines what player needs to be used. What was the, in the old Unix world, it was the, not the dot something, the dot, there's a file that determines what player will open for a MIME type.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, you're talking about like a protocol scheme or whatever.
Yeah.
Where you, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so the MIME type or the file type, let's just, you know, whatever video, let's just generalize it heavily and say video audio. That just tells you what the format is. It doesn't tell you anything about the content. And so the Medium tag is trying to express an opinion about the content. And so it's one layer up from what is happening at the actual format level. And this is a thing you can explain over and over and over. And it's easy to misunderstand because the problem is not a misunderstanding. The problem is we need to see a thing. We need to see a thing. The problem with Medium equals video is that no apps are doing anything with it. PeerTube is the closest example of a Medium equals video player, but it's native. That's what it does anyway. And it's just producing that. But that's the experience, the YouTube experience, the PeerTube experience. There's no podcast apps that do that experience. So it's very difficult to understand what the sort of vision of the tag of that particular medium in the tag is. And it's poorly named because we're limited in the English language. We got, you know, we're trying to express a thing that's difficult to express. So the all around, I appreciate the confusion. I understand it. I know why it happens, and you know it. But it's a thing that if you take a step back, you also okay. This is also the reason that Todd comes in and says, "I don't understand this ActivityPub. You know, why is this a big deal? What's the point of this?" the same type of thing. There's a vision here. If we, you know, what I see in my head, and this is the best, I'm going to stop talking about protocols for a second and start talking about what I see in my head is that RSS and ActivityPub are like peanut butter and jelly. They fit together so well because they come from the same ethos, sort of a shared push-pull, like polling sort of, polling and posting sort of, they work the way the web does.
Publish, subscribe. Is that fair to say?
Pub, subscribe. Yeah. Publish, subscribe, which is exactly what RSS is. It's a pub. RSS is pub sub. ActivityPub is pub sub. These are, they just, ActivityPub does it with JSON, over HTTP requests. RSS does it with XML over GET requests. That, it's really the same thing. And so since they're so close together, we can merge is not the right word I wanted to use. We can take these two worlds and they will fit together well. And then we can bring these things. We can bring a sense of community to RSS. That's almost native. Like, the issue with, you know, Michael, and when we talked to Michael and Sam a few months ago, or maybe a couple months ago, had a phone call with them from Wavelake, and they told us this, you know, an anecdote about how a musician, I forget who it was, and said, well, okay, I've published my music to Wavelake, but I don't, like, where do I tell people to go? Like, to interact with, like, me and the mute, and like, there's no like landing zone where I go and now I can be part of something that's social that has something to do with this.
This is exactly the same that I've heard from an artist saying, okay, I get this, but then where's my fan base? Where's my community?
Yeah.
Same thing.
Exactly. And so you have, if you're a musician and you have a Fediverse account, you're on a Mastodon somewhere, and you also have published your music through RSS. If we bridge these two things together, you now have you just inherited a landing zone and a social community aspect without having to do anything else.
Yeah.
It comes to you instead of you having to go to it. Like, all of a sudden you got airdropped into a party with your content in it. And so I think that's important for RSS, because we've always tried to use these things like, and they're good services, you know, like PodPage and these things where it's like, okay, I need a place for my, or, you know, ownyourown.com, but nothing, those are really just static pages for you. They're not social.
Well, if I can give an example of the disconnect and the connect at the same time. So, because we have cross app comments still enabled, I still publish. Doesn't really matter if it's not taken off, but I still publish that way. So, for every podcast I do, I will post a post on noagendasocial.com. So I'm looking here, No Agenda episode 1608, Woke Up Dead. Now, it should actually be the lit tag when we start going, but it's not. I do it when I publish everything. And because it is posted to our Mastodon server, that's not automatic. You know, I've got to post it, then I'm going to get the URL, put the URL in cross app comments. There is, you know, there's anywhere from 5 to 25 posts, replies under that post. The community knows, oh, here I can talk about it. But the connections are poor. And I'm not really going there myself anymore because it's not this automatic meshed in peanut butter jelly experience. And it's just a post. It's not really an integrated, it's not coming from the RSS feed. It's coming from me copy pasting stuff in. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. And so that's the experience that this will end up resulting in, is that you won't, the podcasters get that for free, and they will get They get an audience. They have their followers, their subscribers in RSS. Now they can have their followers who are essentially also subscribing to the RSS, but through the ActivityPub bridge, so that the episode essentially and lands in the place they already are, and then the party starts there.
So I like landing zone as an example. And let's take your PodPage example, because I use PodPage for two shows. Mm-hmm. Basically, if PodPage hooked up ActivityPub to their back end, it would be dynamite, because they got everything in there. They got all of all these things, and they, you know, now they're doing a lot of 2.0 tags from the feed. You know, that would be a perfect place, because they know how to present an episode and a podcast. But it's funny, because I went there today just to look around some of the new features, and I see all these people signed up for my mailing list. I'm like, I have a mailing list?
Do you?
Well, apparently it pops up, and there must be 100 people registered for the mailing list. And then it says, oh, here's these links. You can import this mailing list into these other programs. I'm like, no, I want to be right here. I want to do it from right where I am here. I've got all these people. They've opted in. How can I communicate to them now, right here on this page?
The magic of the ActivityPub outbox is underutilized, because Mastodon, in its stupidity, does not backfill posts from the outbox.
Wait, explain that to me. I was laughing about the stupidity comment. Explain.
When Mastodon, when you go to somebody's profile, if you search for them, pull them up, follow them, Mastodon by default does not look at that actor's outbox to get all of its old posts and show them to you. The only way a server gets posts is if somebody else has already gotten them.
Ah.
And so but the outbox holds, it's like an RSS feed. Mm. It holds everything. Everything that you've ever posted is in your outbox, and you can just go and pull it. So like,
forever. It's just in there, or less pruned, I guess. Yeah.
It's just there. Like, it's just there. Like if you go to like podcastindex.social/user/Adam/outbox, you will see all of everything you post is there. And so you can read that data and just backfill onto a page. So the, you know, like PodPage or somebody, any of these apps that do this sort of thing can, if you have your social interact in your feed, you know, just defining your ActivityPub user account, they can just go grab your outbox and it's there. So there's just so many integration points here that make so much sense. And again, I'm not going to try to convince, I'm not going to go to the mat to try to convince everybody of these visions, because the vision will be expressed through the things that we ultimately build. Mm. And then that I'm happy to talk about it, but I don't want to risk making people angry or anything like that through arguments. I think we all just kind of state our case, express our visions as best we can, and then we build something, and then it either works or it doesn't, you know. I think ultimately that's what it comes down to. Back to Alberto and Ben doing the lit thing. That's what they did. Essentially, they're like, they saw enough of the vision and they're like, okay, well, I'm going to do this. And now through the doing of the thing, the vision became clear and coherent to them enough to where Alberto is like, I can write a whole article about this.
Right.
And showing it. And if you read that article, it is an expression of the lit vision. That's probably the best one I've ever read.
Yeah.
It's better than my Substack that I wrote about it, a year ago. Anyway, I think this is all very instructive because it directly relates to the Nostr thing, Nostr voice versus RSS, which doesn't, you know, to me seems like a silly battle, but whatever. But if we express these things in terms of here, let me just keep going down this rabbit hole for a second. Like, one of the most difficult things that I've run into so far, and this is really the last step. Once this step is done in the Activity Pub Bridge, then we're kind of down. It's all kind of downhill from there. And that's signing HTTP requests with a cryptographic signature. So what Activity Pub requires is, and actually I don't think the spec really requires it. I think it's in the spec, but I think Mastodon is the one that made it sort of mandatory if you want to play with them, which you have to. An HTTP request that is asking for some action. So for instance, when you follow somebody with an ActivityPub, what I follow is a post request. If I follow you, I'm sending a post request to your inbox, podcastindex.social/user/adam/inbox. That's a post request with a JSON body that's of type follow. That request has to be quote unquote signed with a cryptographic signature. It's an RSA SHA-256 signature. So it requires hashing the headers of the HTTP request, then taking that hash, including it in the body, hashing the entire thing together, and then signing it with your private key. So first step this past week was determining what the signatures are going to be. The keys. Mm-hmm. Public keys, private keys. last week we discussed, should the whole bridge just use the same keys or whatever? No, we're not going to do that. What we're doing is if somebody hits an actor's inbox, so they hit an inbox for an actor document for a podcast, it's going to, at that moment, it's going to generate a set of keys, save mm-hmm. them in the database. Mm-hmm. So now every podcast will get its own set of keys. Those keys will then be used to sign requests to accept a follow. So in the case where I follow you, my Mastodon instance is going to send an HTTP post request with follow to your Mastodon instance. Then yours is going to respond with a type of accept. So it's going to say, hey, I want to follow you. Follow accepted. This accept request has to be signed. So that accept request is what I'm working on signing right now. And we get to the point where we're into cryptographic libraries. And that's what I was talking about in Mastodon this week, where once you get here, you're in the land of wrapped libraries from other languages that have the most confusing documentation.
You're in the land of dragons and demons.
Is it there this way? There be, what is it? There be dragons or whatever. Like it really is bad. So in the example, I'm tying this all back into the example of, to what we talked about with the vision, because when you can see plenty of example code, the example code may be written in a way that is completely foreign to anything that you're used to. Cryptographic libraries have this, they have the strangest ways of expressing things. I'm a declarative programmer, and I don't mean that in the sense of declarative versus reactive. I mean, like, in the sense that I am just like mostly line one, line two, line three, line four, line five. I just blow through a thing. I break everything down into the smallest bite-sized chunks and string them together. Cryptographic libraries tend to not do that. Mm. They do very strange control flow. And so you have to, every time you're looking at a spec, you're looking at a spec that's right in front of you. And it says, here's how you do this. and you're just scratching your head like, what the F am I looking at? Like, implementing a protocol is always an exercise in reading and reverse engineering. You have to read the spec to understand it enough to begin the process of doing the thing, but that's not enough. It'll never be enough. You'll never blindly write things to a spec. Step two is always go see if it works.
And I'll just guess here that ActivityPub spec, you know, bang equals a Mastodon. Like there's, it's not the same thing.
It is. I don't know if it is. I can't say one way or another. I think it mostly conforms to the spec, but I think they have their own. I think the only difference is the headers that it requires you to digest. So, like,
I guess I mean that differently. I mean that in the realm of, like, what Mastodon does is not necessarily what you can do with ActivityPub. The same way someone looks at Mastodon and says, huh, what is this? Like, is this a closed off thing? You know, there's no way for a new user to come in and know that, you know, what the other server's feed is, or that you can follow someone from another server. There's just no way for someone to see that and understand what's going on under the hood. Is it one big thing? Is it one big giant database somewhere? That's kind of what I mean.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, I think that's a good. Yeah, I think that's good. Yeah, because Mastodon has this weird thing where all the HTTP requests are required to be signed, but how do you talk to one first without knowing one of those initial signatures? Like, you can't verify things that you've never talked to before,
right?
Because you don't have the key in advance. Anyway, so there's all these little weird things about Mastodon. So the reverse engineering part is sort of how you take, you write the thing, you try it, you see it break, and then you're like, huh, that's weird. Why did that happen? You go back, you look at the spec, and you're like, okay, well, maybe I misunderstood that they gave me this block of stuff I'm supposed to hash. Maybe this block of stuff was just for demonstration purposes. Maybe the line breaks in it aren't actually supposed to be there. So you take out the line breaks and then you rehash it and then you redo this thing again. You're like, oh, it still failed. You go through this over and over until you finally get something that almost works. And then you see, okay, this is what I was missing. And by the time you're finished, what you have is your version of the spec.
But your marriage is broken. Your kids have left the house.
You got power surges. Your lights are flickering.
Your last name is Kaczynski. You're living in a shack.
Big old beard. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm just trying to express this idea that this is an overarching thing that we deal with in all realms of programming, namespace, spec development, just interpersonal, trying to work things out between different parties, like with RSS and Mastodon and Nostr. All of these things suffer from this same sort of fundamental problem, which is there's a spec and a vision, and then there's your understanding and my understanding, and those are all four separate, completely separate things. And there's hopefully a Venn diagram where there's some overlap, and you try to live, open source software at its heart, open source projects are an attempt to live in the middle of the intersection of a Venn diagram of many different things. And if you do it well and don't get burned out and live there as much as possible, good things happen. If you end up living in the edges where there's no overlap, you either leave the project or nothing fruitful happens, or you just end up talking to yourself on a Google group all day.
I love Venn diagrams.
If you wanted some ISO, I brought a whole bastion of ISOs.
I saw your ISOs. I haven't listened to them yet. So I'll just grab one and I'll just grab one.
Bam! Magic.
Yeah. See, beautiful.
Thank you, Kyron.
Well, let me ask you a question. So now going to the, okay. So the programming side, I barely hung on by a thread, and I understand what you're saying, but of course I get lost. The vision part, making this peanut butter jelly sandwich work perfectly. Is your vision now, because they started off with the desire for fetification of the index. Does this mean that everybody can have their own part of the index, all of the index? Do I, as a podcaster, have my community activity pub? I'm specifically staying away from Mastodon server type names. Is it something that I have an account on through an ISP? Is it both? Is it, will I be following podcasts through this? And my app actually talks to my own index? Am I going too far?
That's, I think ultimately the vision is to fetify things to the point, well, I guess we say fetify things and decentralize.
Sure. By definition. Fetification to me is decentralization.
I guess I'm meaning it as like decentralizing the actual ownership so that there are, because what we eventually want is like different, well, you know, I mean, what we want is what iPodder was, where you own your part of the directory, I own my part.
Well, then what are James, we? What are we, owns bring Australia. Back the freedom controller. What are you talking about? We're back to the freedom controller.
I mean, it really, we got, I can, you know, we can envision, you know, James owning Australia, Sam owning, you know, Northern, you know, Western Europe. I mean, like, that's what, like, I guess we want, and what I mean, so what I'm going to say own, I mean, like, be actually authoritative.
Well, but hold on a second, because just so everyone understands, iPodder.org was initially a world outline. You'll have to look that one up, but it was the concept of OPML, outline processor markup language, where you can use includes. And so iPodder.org, I made up my own top level, which I did by geographic region. It could have been by interest or anything. And I said, okay, I'm looking for someone from Australia. Actually, Germany was probably the first one, or the Netherlands or whatever. So someone would say, oh, I can do that. I'll maintain it for you. And they would put an OPML file, an outline on their own server somewhere, which was part the beauty and part the weakness, of course. And then they would put underneath that, some did it by region of the country, some did it by interest group. There are all these different ways that people would organize it. But it was, if you're familiar with Gopher, oh, let's bring back Gopher.
Gopher.
It was very similar to that, where it was just a minute. You click, okay, now I'm in Germany. Click, what's in Germany? And the person in Germany might have said, okay, I'm including outlines from this guy. He's going to do all these types of podcasts. And this lady over there, she's really good at tracking hobby podcasts. So she would maintain that outline. And so there's no real defined structure. So it never became like Yahoo was originally a directory with real defined topics. But what was beautiful about it is you could walk the tree. And so I built this really horrible script that would walk the tree and go through everybody's node overnight. And sometimes it took a real long time, especially if it broke somewhere, and it would bring back what was new, you know, and then I would pop that to the top of the stack. I mean, so, but it was a very, I thought, beautiful way to connect all podcasts together.
That is beautiful. And of course it breaks with scale, mm-hmm. the same way DNS like used to be just a single file of names and IP addresses. And eventually it's like, okay, well, this has to become a decentralized thing where everybody owns their own chunk of DNS and serves it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the same type of thing that I think we are headed for.
Wow. That's pretty big.
I, I own my, like, we could probably do it to a certain extent in an ugly way quickly, which is not an attractive thing to do, and we won't. But, I mean, it could be done if you had, let's imagine right now you have seven people, and one person runs an index that handles feed IDs 0 through 1 million.
Mm-hmm.
Person number 2, 1,001,000 through 2,000,000. And you just had seven different indexes. There's less than 7 million podcasts in the database right now. So that would work. You know, that's too ugly. We're not going to do that. But that's sort of the idea there, is like you shard the database and have different ownership, and then it comes in through various income points. Those could be HTTP REST requests to a front-end API that just load balances to whichever appropriate database is going on in the background. It could be some sort of like DHT, IPFS style gateway.
So the way to bootstrap that, if I understand you, is to have people start their individual indexes, which are actually landing pages for these podcasts, landing pages and community areas. So for instance, all No Agenda Stream podcasts could be handled by the noagendasocial.com activity pub.
Yeah, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that could be one way to do it. I can see a few ways to slice it. That would be one way. Mm-hmm. And that's, if this activity pub bridge is generic enough, and that's the goal, is I want this to be
that's how you distribute it.
So yeah, you have a repo.
And you just pull it in from, so then you build a bridge. It comes in from the index into your activity pub server, Mastodon or not. And that becomes the landing pages.
And then you're talking to the actual index itself.
Right. Until you eventually are getting your updates from the RSS feed or Podping or somewhere else.
Yeah, because you could have, for instance, you know, and right now it talks to the index, but maybe you want it to talk directly to your feed, and not have to do an HTTP. That's
right.
Another way to do it, because if you wanted to have, like your description, if you want to download the repo, run it, and have it just talk to the No Agenda RSS feed, then you can have, you know, activitypub.noagendanotes.com, and it's just and all that is a gateway to your feed.
Mm.
But somebody else may want to be a gateway for the whole index, and they can do that too.
Right. That's perfectly fine.
Yeah, or Blueberry. Or Buzzsprout can run activitypub.blueberry.com and have all their feeds.
Yeah. Which is actually probably a great way to do it, but you can still have your own for your own feeds and not have to use their system, even though they'll have it.
Right.
And how do you work with dupes then in that case?
No, don't just stop talking.
I'm sorry.
Duplicates. I hate them so much.
I'm the deduping guy. I mean, they come into the email box, and I can see someone like 2 days old. And when I get to it at the bottom of my box, I'm like, oh, Dave didn't want to deal with that one. Okay, I got it.
if I had a wish list of two things that I could like, that somebody would come up and say, hey, I volunteer to do X. One of them would be write some stuff that would look at the downloadable weekly database and try to
find the dupes.
Try to dedupe it.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And then another one would be write some code that will monitor our API and send me a bat signal if something goes wonky. Like if anybody wants to pick either of those two projects up, I would love that. I need an early warning system, like something that hits some of the critical API endpoints like search and some of the other ones, like, I don't know, every 3 or 4 minutes. Doesn't have to, it's very low volume. And just if something doesn't return right, or if you get a timeout, then shoot me an email or a push notification or something. Or post it to the Mastodon or something. I mean, like, do some sort of automated alerting, because I'm not, I need some of that.
In the meantime, if you find a dupe, just email it to me.
Doesn't that suck though?
No, I don't mind it. What I have a problem with is people saying, "Hi, I'm John. There's three versions of my podcast in the index. Can you please remove the older two ones?"
And thanks.
Like, thanks. Yeah. No, you got no URLs. You know, I can usually discern if I think someone is the real deal, if their owner. That's usually pretty easy to see, even though it's not foolproof. But even then, it's like, well, I'm not even going to try and think this is the older one. No, you tell me what you want removed, and I'll do that for you.
Yeah, I have a feed that it's missing some of the episodes, and it's called Daily News. It's like, oh, dude, do you know how many daily? There's like 800 of those in the index. Come on, man.
Allow me to just read two quick boostergrams, because I think it's not the same, but it may be, and so we're all on the same page. We don't get ahead of each of ourselves. Sam Sethi boosting. Hello, okay. Sam, in the UK, cold UK. Can't believe you guys brought Cameron back. So 10,000 sats from Sam Sethi. Pod Fans was built from day one to support activity streams. We use actor, verb, object as the structure. We have 30 plus verbs, and we can track user behavior using gamification. And second, we have a vision to export or publish people's activity like RSS feeds so other apps can import this activity feed. This is how we get cross-app boost, clip subscriptions, follows, etc. That sounds like it's something else from what we're talking about here. Or is it something that happens down the road?
I think it's a layer on top. I think it's like fade. I think it's not fade, but like that sounds like layer two. Mm. Like I'm talking about like layer, like a layer one, sort of a more fundamental. And then that's sort of adding, once you have that's in his app. And then once you have this, then those, you can,
then those come alive, right? That's a little bit the cart before the horse in this example.
And now it's then once we, if we did that, then we can talk to Pod Fans better. Like, mm-hmm. Everything starts to jive, you know?
Right. Yeah, okay.
That's if I understand what he's saying correctly.
Well, Sam's building his own little emporium. He's building his own podcast index over there. He's importing feeds and validating them.
he's competing with Stephen B for the most apps. What he's having a real hard time with feed validation.
Yes.
And my first thought is, welcome to the club, man.
Yeah, really? We've been doing this for 10 years to 12 years, Dave. We've been doing feed validation.
It is a complete nightmare.
I'll tell you, the amount of times that I would be using the Freedom Controller, certainly in the early days, early years, and I say, hey, Dave, I subscribe to this feed, but... You know, look at how it shows up, or it didn't show up, or why is it doing this? I mean, you built a set of rules that is astronomical.
I've seen, I think I've seen every what you think podcast feeds are bad? Yeah, Go check out blogs.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. They are a nightmare. You will see. I've seen RSS feeds with 25,000 items in them, and they only have a title, and the title is exactly the same. Yes, it sure does. There's no pub date, there's no GUID, there's nothing except a title tag, and the title tag is the exact same on every one of them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, just every to make post. It more fun. Oh, those are the worst. Yeah, that's the worst. Like, hey, for this particular feed, can you take this tag and put that in the title tag to make it work? I remember all that. I remember all that, sure. Like, I can't discern anything from this thing.
Yeah, the broader RSS ecosystem makes the podcasting RSS ecosystem look tame.
It does. It does. Well, I'm excited. I mean, I know it's a slow build, and it's infrastructure level. You know, I'm kind of like Sam, I guess. I'm like, okay, so what do we do on the top here? I'm already at landing pages, communities, blah blah blah. But we got a lot of stuff to do under the hood first, and it seems like the first thing is figuring out this cryptographic handshaking stuff, which is a complex.
Yeah, I'm close on that. I found a few libraries that I can work with, and then I found you last night that I found the last piece of the puzzle that another problem with cryptographic stuff is they return crazy types. So instead of, you know, they don't work like humans expect. So for instance, we're storing in the database, we're storing a public key and a private key. And we're storing, for simplicity, to avoid type messes, I'm just storing them as PIM encoded strings. So that's like, you know how when you see the signature, it says like begin RSA key and it's got the dashes and then you got this big base 64 encoded thing. And then at the end it says end, you know, string. Like that's just text. So it's like, okay, well, we're just going to store that as text. And then I'm going to convert that from the PIM encoded text back into a private key so that I can then sign the request. Well, the functions or the methods that return that do that, they don't necessarily return a type that is in any way useful for any other library. So they may return just an array of bytes. I'm like, what do I do with this? I mean, like, or it's not that would be pretty useful. It gets worse because what they return is their own custom type, their own custom structure with all these members, but what ends up really being at the heart, just an array of bytes. And it's like, just give me the array. Just give me the array of bytes. I can do what I want to with it. Ah! You know, like so I finally think I figured out the chain that I need. And if I can get that done, we may be able to actually start following some podcasts next week.
Oh, okay. This is moving quickly. That's nice.
One delay of this is that I'm long overdue to get back to the namespace because there's stuff happening there that needs chaperoning.
You want to talk about that for a second? Want to talk about?
I can't. I don't even know what's going on over there. I just know there's something happening.
All I know is that James Cridlin still wants podcast images gone. It's no good. Get rid of it.
Yeah, it's. I didn't even know what tag he wanted dead.
Wasn't that a drop in for iTunes? Wasn't that the whole point of
no?
Oh,
no, okay. Wasn't, no.
All right.
So there's stuff happening over there that I need to go tend to, and I've dedicated next week to. Thanksgiving week is namespace week. I'm going to live in the namespace and up to speed on what's happening there.
So we'll have some hot namespace talk next week in the boardroom. I'll alert the dancing girls.
Friday, I have a family thing, so I don't think I can do the show Friday at normal time.
Oh, okay. So
we have family Thanksgiving on Friday.
Well, who says you're allowed to have that?
The lady that owns the house.
It's called a Friendsgiving, Dave. Keep up with the kids, will you? It's Friendsgiving. It's not Thanksgiving. We can't thank anybody. It's just Friendsgiving.
I think that's the case, but I'll double check. Well, we can figure that out on Signal.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's a lot. That's a lot. You've been deep in that, brother. Real deep.
I need air.
Yeah. See, was there anything else that popped to the top of the stack? I'm trying to think of any things that we needed to discuss. I mean, right now I'm still just riding high on the music podcasting. I'm so loving it. I'm seeing guys come in. This guy Cody from Kerrville, he got Dovidas has been just a gem. You know, and of course he's pretty small with rssblue.com, but you know, I sent this guy, radio guy, I said, all right, now you got rssblue.com, you'll figure it out. I'm like, I can't be doing support for everybody. But you know, all of a sudden, boom, Sidestream Music Podcast on the air. So Dovidas was really helpful and really worked out and I got it all rocking and he's onboarding musicians and we got Steve Webb is onboarding people from the 70s who own their music again. And are just blown away. Like, you know, they have either they're retired and have some some savings, or they were super successful, but or they're just amazed to see that, you know, they actually see value coming in, and it's like, well, people are liking my stuff. It's so beautiful to watch. It's just phenomenal.
It's when you're small, like Dovidas, you're shifty.
Yes.
You're agile.
And
you can do whatever you want.
And podhome.fm is another one. You know, Barry,
I put Barry and a couple other people had some stuff that had some PRs on the main website that I pushed to production today. So that should be caught up.
Oh, in the podcast on the apps page. Yeah. Cool. Cool.
Yep. So that, I think that should be all good. I don't think I have anything else pressing.
Time for an ISO.
Oh my God.
Yeah, there we go. Time for an ISO. That always helps a little bit.
Did you listen to that On the Media thing? The one about podcasting?
You mean the one where they erased 2 years of podcast history?
Yeah, that one.
Nothing happened between this and then Apple. What was really interesting to me is it really solidified what had happened. I mean, we're in a podcast winter, and I've been through a podcast winter before. And it was really right after podcasting exploded with, and it was in iTunes. And what happened there is Twitter, you know, because podcasting, what was happening in 2007, 2006, 2007, 2008, of course, we had a couple things, you know, the main, I'd say beyond the iPod, it was the iPhone that came out. And, you know, and the excitement around what could be done with that. But Twitter didn't launch as Odeo as a podcast company, but launched as a micro blogging site, because that's truly what it was. And was initially based on RSS feeds and got real smart real quick. Like, you want to be the aggregator of all things feeds and the publisher? Well, goodbye. That's not going to work. It's not efficient. Yeah. Hence the fail whale. But then, you know, remember the reason why Twitter really hit big time is because, well, one, the genius of the term follow instead of subscribe, they came up with follow, which I think was just still a genius idea, because then you could follow Ashton Kutcher and Demi Moore, who were tweeting back and forth. Their love affair was on Twitter. But, you know, the artists, they all started to get on Twitter and had followings. And yeah, when you have following, this is all the old world, you know, like, oh, how many followers and how many likes? And it became this whole thing. And then Facebook and then YouTube came. And I'd say YouTube was probably the most destructive or the biggest freeze for podcasting, even my own company. Oh my God. I had meetings, board meetings with venture capital investors, like, be more like YouTube, you know? And so we wound up doing a lot of video. It was pretty much all video. And what happened, and this is why I always say you can't monetize the network, is when you try to aggregate everything and you know, it's kind of normal for people to settle into, all right, this is not pirate radio anymore. We need executive producers and associate executive producers. And we need people to get lunch, and we need studios and bigger studios and nicer studios. And we need ad sales, and we need podcaster relations to talk to the people when they were upset that they didn't get an ad buy. And you need people to talk to the advertisers. And, you know, and it just, when Spotify came in and said, here's our huge cojones with $1 billion. Everybody, I don't care who you are, you were hoping for a buyout. You were hoping for Spotify to buy your hosting company, for Spotify to buy your podcast, for Spotify to buy you. It's normal. It's just normal. And they made a huge bet and ran it like Hollywood and ran it straight into the ground. And what happened at NPR, which is really, since On the Media as an NPR, you know, it runs on NPR stations and WNYC, they had people on podcasts that had $1 million budget. And, and, you know, there was, and here's the weakness of it all, because I also listened to the CEO of the New York Times, who was on my hate list and on Pivot. And, you know, the question was, you know, so, you know, they've purchased. So the New York Times, and I don't fault them for this because print, you know, newspapers are dead. And the reason why is newspapers used to have news and do journalism, but it was paid for by classified ads. And I went through this whole history and they laughed at me when I said, you know, this thing called Craigslist, it's going to take away your revenue. No, that's never going to happen. So it did. And, you know, so the New York Times has 10 million subscribers. Do you know what people really subscribe to the New York Times for? Wordle. Yes, Wordle. Yeah. Wordle. So they bought Wordle. They also, now sports is another thing. They bought The Athletic, I think is what it's called. So that's funding.
They're a video game company.
Yeah. Yeah. And so the CEO is honest. She says, you know, the way we run our company is the first dollar of every dollar we make goes into the newsroom, which, okay, yeah, money's pretty fungible, but I'll take you sure. for your word. I'll
take no, it's you for, the first one, Adam. Yeah, it's the first one. Dollar.
So it's just a dollar, but I'll take her word for it. So once again, it's other things funding the news business, which is just fine. So the question was, I should have clipped it actually, because it was very subtle. It's like, so what are you going to do with podcasts? Well, we'll continue to innovate with audio. Okay. Yeah. That's code for nothing. So the Daily is a top podcast. And she was very clear. She says the advertising market for podcasts collapsed. Now, is it a broader issue? In advertising, sure. I mean, that it's digital advertising in general. I mean, I've only recently learned that the true CPM you get, so number of dollars you get per 1,000 people who have watched a video on YouTube, and that has to be of a certain amount of time, because a view is also very subjective, is really down about $1.50. You know, it's $3 that they may sell it to the advertiser. It's not very high. So, yeah, and that's because there's no artificial lack of supply. You know, how many YouTube videos do you want to advertise on? And I truly believe that the party's over. The music has stopped. We all better sit down in a chair really quickly because the advertisers are not stupid. And when I hear the CEO of Acast, who clearly is kind of thick-minded, say, well, you know, obviously, our numbers are down because Apple changed the way they download stuff in the background. It's like, wow, how can you say this stuff? So advertisers are not dumb and they're very Me Too-ish, particularly the media buyers. So, hey, podcasting's not hot anymore. Okay, we're advertising on TikTok.
Yeah, we're out.
We're out. So it's over. And the biggest problem is, the podcast industrial complex cannot prove listeners. They just can't. Hence the ad nauseum talk about YouTube, because you can go to YouTube and you can get, you know, put your stuff on YouTube and you'll get numbers, but, you know, then you'll be up to YouTube's advertising machine. It's over. Moreover, and God bless Mitch, I think, IPv6 is really happening. You're not going to be able to track IP addresses anymore. It's just over.
I grabbed a clip from, there's a couple of things in that show that I thought were interesting. One was that, I mean, we already knew this really, but it was, I don't know, the way they put it was pretty stark. I mean, basically in 2018, the podcast industry was already collapsing.
Correct.
Like Gimlet was starting to.
They never made money. Gimlet never made money. It was a Hail Mary.
Bleeding. Yeah. Yes. They were bleeding to death and they were about to go under, and they got the Spotify Hail Mary. Like, they just caught lightning in a bottle. People made money. I mean, it was like, it was almost like, 2019, a lot of people don't realize that 2019 was a recession.
Yeah.
We were in an economic recession in 2019. Then COVID happened, screwed everything up.
What a coincidence.
Up. Yeah. We printed trillions of dollars.
Yeah.
And then had this boom. And now what we're doing is we're reverting. after the party's over, we're reverting to the mean.
Yes.
We're going back to recession, which is where we would have been in 2019. But, and like, it's the same thing with podcasting. You had this artificial expansion by this essentially money printer coming into the market.
Yeah.
And screwed everything up for a few years. And now we're going back to what it was before.
Uh-huh.
And I think but I got a clip where he describes the problem with the advertising problem in tied to podcasting. He describes it exactly.
WNYC was jazz too. Public radio stations had long been limited to just three ways of bringing in the dough. Sponsorship, what we call radio ads, membership, donations from listeners, and grants from foundations. WNYC is a little different. We also have a distribution arm, and we collect syndication fees for nationally distributed shows like OTM. Now WNYC could sell podcast ads without having to jostle for a slot on the crowded radio schedule.
Yes.
And that's it. And that's your unlimited inventory problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you have no restriction on ad space.
How much podcast do you want to buy?
Yeah, you can buy it when the ad space is unlimited, there's no floor to the CPM. There's no floor to the rate. It can just go down.
It's a race to the bottom. And again, lack of trust in the metrics, which is in the marketplace, and I'll take some credit for that. Lack of trust for the metrics always ruins stuff because there is no trust in the metrics. There just isn't. You know, the attribution part is complicated. Even Spotify, who know stuff, they, you know, again, money's fungible. So, you know, you look at iHeart and like, oh yeah, you know, podcasting's doing this for us. Well, you know, if you do a buy on iHeart across radio stations and podcasts, it's just up to their internal mechanism as to what they attribute to the podcast side of the equation. Hmm. You know, and that's been going on for a long time. And a lot of those deals were also by, you know, a sponsorship on the radio and an ad on the podcast. But the CEO was honest. She says, you know, the market just collapsed. Now, what I truly still believe in is advertisers who are a part of a program. Again, I always use Linux, the Linux Today guys. Was it Jupiter Broadcasting? I enjoy listening to them talk about products and say, oh, you know, here, these guys are sponsoring us. We use them, whether it's true or not. They usually do, and they talk about how they integrate that. It gets a little tough when, you know, Linode pulls out. This is always the danger of having sponsors. But like Bridesmaids Magazine, you know, you don't buy it really for the articles. You know, you buy it to find your wedding band. You buy it to find your wedding venue. You buy it, for ideas about your wedding. You know, that works great, and that's valid. And you know, there's all kinds of ways you can show an advertiser that works. It's really per inquiry. That still works. It still does. But this programmatic ads ruined everything. That ruined it all because now it's just, oh, you know, I'll buy some remnant inventory for 50 cents CPM. What can it hurt? And the next thing you're hearing is, and I'm seeing these articles pop up. Well, you know, this whole brand safety thing was a little overblown. We went a little bit too far because, you know, the people who listen to those podcasts, you're still reaching real people who buy stuff. You know, just because they're Nazis doesn't mean that they don't buy stuff.
But hey, Nazis wipe their butt too. Yeah. They need toilet paper.
But the problem is, it's not about that. We just saw this this week with Elon Musk, where it's, you know, IBM didn't wake up and go, oh, the horrors. Oh, my. There's an ad for IBM near to a post about, you know, someone who hates Jews. No, that's not what happened. Media Matters trolls Twitter all day long looking for, you know, some mess up exactly like this. And then they immediately start posting and start shaming IBM. Who, by the way, you know, it was IBM who created and maintained the machines that counted the Jews in World War II with the punch cards. I'm just saying.
There's a book about it.
Yes, JCD's buddy wrote the book about it. It's a fascinating book. But that's the problem. That is the culture that has been created. So forget about it. You know, the genie's out of the bottle. When, yeah. Unless you're really strong as a brand, and you know, which comes down to the CEO, you're not going to do it. I think the Bud Light lesson is another reason why. We got to be very careful, because even a brand like Bud Light, the number one beer brand in America, can be destroyed.
And no, when it has been, it's and been, when it's been,
yes, and when nuked, it's yes. The VP of marketing, and now a second executive has left to pursue other interests outside the company. so now it's people themselves. No one's going to take that risk. It's we blew it all up. And I really, truly think that algos and ad insertions and programmatic ads, that was the final cut. That just ruined it. I don't think they can come back from it. And why should it really?
Well, that there's nothing else to do though. I mean, like there's nothing that it's built.
Yes.
It's built now. And so now the race to the bottom begins.
Yeah. Well, it's well underway. It's well underway.
Yeah. There's no more innovation. That's good. So now we're just going to roll downhill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's become banner ads.
We have a problem here because I fired off the boost to email, and I didn't get any of the emails.
This is interesting you say this, because I didn't even get our regular morning emails either, now that I think about it.
I didn't either. I think there's an email issue. Clearly there is. I'm going to have to check Mailgun and make sure. I can't read boosts because I don't have them.
Well, luckily. What I can do, if you'll indulge me, I can do a quick export of my helipad, and we can get pretty close.
Okay. All
right. Okay. Hold on a second. Let me do this. I love helipad, but I can't wait to reply to people in helipad. That would be the next best thing.
Eric PP doing the Lord's work.
I know he is. There was something else I wanted in helipad. I can't remember what it was. But it's so good. Okay, let's see. So the way you do this, if you're using Helipad and you're a podcaster, this did come up on podcastindex.social the other day. I learned this from Dave, because I'm by no means am I an Excel guy. So you want to open Excel first. Then you click a blank workbook. It's all these great names. Then you hit data. And then from data, you go to import data from text or CSV file, because the reason you want to do this is because then you get a pivot table.
Pivot tables.
Pivot,
for the win.
Now, pivot tables are badass. I love me some pivot table. So hold on. I'm just doing it now. So I'm going to select this exported boost file from the last week and a half. So I know I'll have our data. You can hear I'm covering.
I'm covering for the
extreme slowness. For some reason, you know, Excel, then it tells me it's connecting to data source. It's a file. Come on.
It's a data source. It's still a data source.
It's just doing like an ODBC connection or something. to my file system or whatever.
Is it very large? It is many boosts?
Well, it contains all my boosts. So I have to now.
That's big.
I have to select podcasting 2.0.
I think there are parameters where you can filter that.
Yeah, of course I can. And then I need to check and make sure that the app, so I want to remove IPF podcasting. Okay, boom. All right.
From the pivot table.
Yes, from the pivot table. And now I go back to, what are you laughing about?
This is like a webinar on how to use Excel.
If I flipped on the camera, format cells. Okay. So I can see the message. Boom. Wrap text. Oh, I've done this so many times. Okay. Now I scroll down and all I need to look for is Comic Strip Blogger. And I found him because he is a delimiter. And here we go.
That's magic. Bam. Magic.
It's super magic. Okay. We have... Did we do ePodcaster 10,000 sats because we are on day 10 of National Podcast Post Month?
Yeah, we did that one. Yeah, we did that.
And then we had, here's Kyron. That was also, okay, the 11th, I think. Hold on a second. When was the last show? The 10th, right? So the 11th. Here we go.
Yeah, okay.
No, it's Pyron, Boosted Ram Lounge.
the flow is all messed up because we're so used to doing this in a pattern.
It is. Okay. Sir Sean Reiser, Kevin Bay. Okay. All right. I think this is good. I think we're on a path here. 50,000 sats. I'm listening. This is from Kevin Bay. I'm listening to the person Guid talk. I'm wondering, what would stop someone from using someone else's Guid? Say I put Adam's Guid as a person in my podcast, but he has nothing to do with my show. Wouldn't I be able to hijack his persona to drive people to my podcast? He wouldn't be able to stop me.
Yep. Yes, you could.
You could, but you can never really replicate me, brother. No one's going to fall for that. No one's going to fall for your tricks.
You can also create fake websites that do things.
Yes, true. So, of course, that's possible. 3333 from Sir Truck Driver. No notes. We thank you for that, though. We have 1111 from Joel W. No note. Kyron with a row of ducks. A beautiful rendition of Criss Cross there at the end. Oh, were we singing Sailing? Yes. Aside from their cowboy music, also known for their 1992 smash hit Jump, Adam is definitely the Daddy Mac. So that would make Dave the Mac Daddy. Okay.
Yes, that's right. Yes,
perfect.
It's on our business cards.
Gene Bean, 2222, the central database of person tag registrations could easily be a Git repo that contains the result of each registration and stores the GUID profile picture and any other relevant information. If that Git repo was public, anyone could clone it and present it as desired.
Yep.
Well, yeah, but then you're centralizing. You're just basically centralizing it on a GitHub, right? Or a Git repo.
No, it's centralized in the sense that it exists one, but I mean, you can fork it a million times into whatever.
But the whole idea, you want. The whole idea is to decentralize this at the same time that we do this ActivityPub RSS mind meld.
Yeah, lots of moving parts like slowly falling together. Yes.
We got Mike Dell, 10,000 sats. My head hurts, but I think I understand. Mine too, Mike. Gene Bean again with Elite Boost, 1337. Can't help but wonder how we convince all traditional podcast hosts to embrace ActivityPub. Hopefully that will be easier than I think it will be. Well, I don't know. I mean, we convinced a lot of hosts to add the namespace.
There's a lot of people on ActivityPub.
It sure is.
I mean, there really is.
And then Gene Bean again with Elite Boost. Another piece of prior art you should look at is funkwhale.audio. They do music and ActivityPub plus RSS. Oh.
Oh, I think, yeah, I've heard of that.
So they do activity. Well, let's take a look at that. That's interesting. They are anti-Bitcoin.
Oh, really? Okay.
So they don't want to adopt the namespace. Wow.
They do not want us, no.
But the underlying text seems very relevant to this episode. J Moon, 3333 with the boost. Just listening, 1776 Freedom Boost. Thank you for all you do. Shout out to Fountain. Love the music stuff going on there. I'm actually loving having my podcast and music in the same app. Shout out also to Phantom Power Music Hour. Loving being able to find a track that he plays in the references tab and go add it to my library without switching apps. That's the dream, brother, right there. You know, I got a call from a reporter from Fortune magazine. And he wanted to talk about open source, value for value, and Mastodon. Okay. And he said, and he's a Bitcoiner right off the bat. You know, Bitcoiner. I said, well, do you know about value for value in the podcast house? Well, I know about Fountain. I said, oh, brother, do you have a couple minutes? Let me sit down and tell you a story. And after I told him, you know, how everything comes, he goes, wow, that's awesome. Said, yes, Fortune magazine boy, go read some stuff.
Yeah, go read, then go write.
Yeah, please. Looks like Comic Strip Blogger, even though he's the delimiter, he's not the delimiter because I'm going to do the live boosts after this. Adam and Dave, and this is 32,015. I'd like to extend an invitation to your audience to listen to the Just Two Good Old Boys podcast. You can find it at www.justtwogoodoldboys.com. The show is hosted by two Texans, a dude named Ben and Gene, who is an in-person friend of Adam. In-person friend. What does that even mean? Yeah. He's been to my house. This podcast stands out due to the host's vast experience in the corporate world and business travel. Yo, CSB. By the way, Sir Gene, instrumental in developing the value for value model, I might add. He helped a lot in the early days. Yes, he did.
Okay.
He helped with the gamification. He came up with some really good ideas. One day back in the old days when I still lived in my first house, in the second house in Austin.
Sir Gene, the sheriff of Texas.
Tone Wrecker, 4444, getting a pre-show thank you boost in here before heading out of town again for a gig in Wisconsin this weekend. Looking forward to spreading the V for V model capabilities and information to any other musicians there during dinner Saturday night. The signal keeps spreading. That's right. We all have our part to do. Nice. Satchel of Richards, 11,111 from Booberry. 432, count it down. That's how many songs we've gotten to upload with thunderroad.media to the index. If you've got music and want someone to host it, hit me up. I will also set intentions to go back on a tour as the Split Kit Tech. Nice. Broadway shows are so yesterday. Live V for V concerts will be pure magic. So, yeah, so Thunder Road Media, what Booberry's doing is he'll help you. He'll set you up. He'll host your music and your feed. And he takes, a 3% split off of everything.
Which that seems reasonable.
I love this. This is the economy I'm talking about. And then people say, yeah, no one uses Bitcoin. Oh, goodness. Not true. We have an ecosystem of proof, dripping with proof. Chad F 3333. We just need to put STR on the end of everything we build. Oh, now introducing Ellen Beatster. Okay.
Podcast Stir.
I'm just going to be Adam Currister and I'll just change everything. Yeah. 10,000 sats from Dovidas. RSSBlue.com. There have been instances of RSS Blue music show DJs not being able to reference Wavelake tracks because they weren't on podcast index. So now, when someone pastes a Wavelake URL that doesn't have an entry in the podcast index, RSS Blue will send out a pod ping with that Wavelake feed URL.
Thank you, brother.
Beautiful. Thank you, what a beautiful hack.
Interrupt.
Yes. It's one way, but we're interrupting. We're the good guys.
You call it a hack, I call it interrupt.
Yeah, we're the good guys. There's those 2 10,000 sats from Sam Sethi we read earlier. Thank you, Sam. Appreciate it. Go check him out at podfans.fm. 15,500 from C Brooklyn 112. Thank you for all your work and the vocabulary lesson. Yes, I learned all kinds of things like cyclomatic complexity.
Yikes.
Salty Crayon, 3333. Howdy, boardroom. Looking forward to hopefully talking to other V4V music podcasters tomorrow. Love this way of playing independent artists and seeing the value go back to them. See you there tomorrow. Go podcasting.
Go podcasting.
Now, where's he going to be?
I don't know.
Oysteinberger. Oystein, I love that the O with the slash through it comes through on my spreadsheet. It's not always
easy. He's Dutch, right? He's Dutch.
I think he's Norwegian, Scandinavian country, I believe.
That's right. Oystein. That's not a Dutch name.
And he does the Mutton Mead Music podcast, 10101. Oh, okay. And he just says, educate me, daddy. Educate me. Salty Crayon back with a short row of ducks, 2222. Did I hear hot namespace? Is Dave breaking out the red light next week for a late board meeting? Bow, chicka, bow, wow. Yeah, you better believe it. And Dreb Scott.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Dreb Scott winds up the whole list here with 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Dreb Scott, thank you so much, brother. He says, just boosting for the boost. Because that's what Dreb Scott does. And let me check that something else didn't come in after the fact. No, then we've gotten through every single one of them. Helipad rocks. It rocks.
I feel neutered. Sitting back watching you do my job. I'm like,
Can you do the PayPals? You can do the PayPals.
I can do the PayPals. Yeah,
once you're
sure.
PayPals.
We got a new subscriber, $5.50 a month from Michael Hall.
Thank you, Michael.
Yeah, Michael says, beginning monthly support. Thank you for your service.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks, Michael.
We work hard.
And then we got some monthlies. We got Terry Keller, $5. Chris Cowan, $5. Paul Saltzman, $22.22. Derek J. Visker, great name. I love it every time, $21. Yaron Rosenstein, $1. Mm-hmm. Damon Kasajak, $15, and Jeremy Gerds, $5.
Thank you all very much. This is a value for value proposition. If you don't know what that means, Forbes magazine will explain it to you soon. Or go to valueforvalue.info. That's a pretty good overview of how it works and the history of it. But really the idea is if you like the project, if you like this podcast, if you want it all to continue, then you can send value back to us in three ways: time, talent, or treasure. Most people will hand back time and talent in big ways. And a lot of them also provide treasure, which is so incredibly appreciated. You can go to podcastindex.org, go down to the bottom. You'll see two red donate buttons, one for your fiat PayPal, fiat fund coupons. The other one is takes you to the Tallycoin in case you just happen to have a Bitcoin laying around thinking, oh, these guys, they could use a whole Bitcoin. I'll send that to them. I think I'll do that on chain. We'll accept that.
Yes, please do that.
But we'd love for you to go to newpodcastapps.com or podcastapps.com. Grab a modern podcast app. You're going to need it eventually. And remember, one of the big features, besides the fact you can boost us and send us a boostagram and have it read in the thank you segment, is that you also get updated, the app updates within like 90 seconds of us publishing. People forget that. And I still have so many people saying, why haven't you uploaded to Apple yet? And I say, that's not how it works. Apple is just old fashioned. Do you want to consider something new?
Yeah, or like a podcast app that actually cares about efficiency.
Before we go, you want to play a song?
Oh, I would love the song. That would be fantastic. I didn't know you were going to do that.
Yeah, well, I just had one just in case, and this is from one of those guys. This guy actually, when we did the PodSafe Music Network, so now we're talking back 2007, I think. He uploaded a lot of his tracks. He's been around for a long time. Do you remember Jimmy Bratcher? You may be too young to remember Jimmy Bratcher.
Bratcher?
No, you probably don't remember him. No. Well, you're going to hear him right now. And there we go. He's, if you want some bluesy, kind of down-home, funky music, Jimmy Bratcher's your guy.
I went to the doctor the other day. The doc said, boy, you got to quit eating that way. You got to cut out the cheese and the fried foods. I said, doc, what's a brother supposed to do? I went home and I told my wife. She said, baby, you're gonna take his advice. 'Cause we can't have you sick and feeling bad. You're not gonna like this, but don't be sad. 'Cause mama won't fry no chicken. Mama won't fry no chicken. There ain't gonna be no finger picking. 'Cause mama won't fry no chicken. But sometimes when I'm by myself, I get tempted and I can't resist. I drive by churches, Popeyes, and KFC. Then stop it, go chicken, go and get a piece of sweet tea. Because mama won't fry no chicken. Mama won't fry no chicken. There ain't gonna be no finger picking. 'Cause mama won't fry no chicken. Baby, your fried chicken is the best I've ever had, and to live without it, it just makes me mad. So get out the skillet, throw some dark meat in the pan, and make me some gravy. I'll be a happy man.
Boost!
But mama won't fry no chicken. Mama won't fry no chicken. There ain't gonna be no finger picking, 'cause mama won't fry no chicken. No, mama won't fry no chicken. I said mama won't fry no chicken. There ain't gonna be no finger licking, 'cause mama won't fry no chicken. Oh, baby, come on. Fry me some chicken. I need me some dark meat, some gravy, some biscuits. I don't want no mashed potatoes. Oh,
Hill Country, man.
Anything that says gravy and biscuits in it, I'm down.
I know. Did you kill your rooster?
I'm killing three of them tomorrow.
For Thanksgiving?
We have a trio in the backyard that is about to drive me insane. 4 o'clock in the morning.
But are you killing them just because you hate them or because you're hungry? Or is it a combo? It's a combo
it's
deal.
It's a combo, and they work out. They work together perfectly. Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. Well, listen, we'll figure out what we're going to do. I mean, maybe because here in America, we have Thanksgiving. It's Thursday. And then you have your family affair on Friday. So we'll have to see what we do.
I'll get the times from my wife.
The boss.
About what times we're doing stuff. And we'll figure it out on Signal. I might be able to still pull off a show.
Okay.
Well, maybe just a little early or something.
Brother, let me just hold on a second. Let me just check. I got my boss and she goes, let's synchronize calendars.
Secret.
Whenever that happens. The 24th. No, I can do it anytime you want on Friday.
Okay. Yeah, so, maybe we just do a little early.
Okay. All right, brother. Have a great weekend. Happy Thanksgiving.
You too, man.
All right. And chat room, thank you very much for joining us here in the boardroom for another board meeting of Podcasting 2.0. We'll see you next week. Take care, everybody.
Podcasts are cool.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!
Yeah, it's pretty cool.